Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elliker, Shoo You, Kellen through the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line.
Shoo You too. Shoo,
I'm running on 2 hours of sleep.
It's just was that an Ed Sullivan thing? A really big shoo?
Sure. No, that was me having not slept for like 20 hours. I'm just hanging on.
Woo.
Okay.
You go there in the East, and people are like, I have no sympathy for you. You go, the flight's at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm still running on West Coast time, so I'm sitting in the hotel room. I'm like, well, I'm going to get up at my time, too. Get there, and I'm like, ugh. And Joe's like, are you coming in soon? All right, don't forget, come November, you've got some initiatives, and you're going to be able to say no. No, no, you're going to get rid of that health care, that long-term care, get rid of that. The Climate Commitment Act, bang.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, get rid of it. You want to pay 54 cents more on a gallon of gas. California, Washington, and Hawaii have the highest amount of money that you're paying for gas. Why? I wonder why. Oh, that's right. Because the evil, horrible oil companies came after us because of the war, Ukraine war, but it only affected us. Listen, they stuck this thing in there because the climate cult wants you to believe that because you drive that car, you're increasing the temperatures in the earth. So we've got Inslee, who is a devout believer, or at least a guy that wants to cash in on this stuff. So he's whacking you to pay the extra money to be able to bring down the earth's temperature. Complete, utter garbage. And the fact that now what they've done is they're using your taxpayer dollars to push this, because we knew this was going to happen, because once the initiatives come out, they're going to have to run all these commercials to get you to vote yes or vote no. So if you want to be able to watch the commercials going to be coming up on the website, they've got to get those things out there so that they can help you better understand that we need to have you pay 54 cents or 57 cents. Remember, it's just going to be pennies for each gallon of gas that you buy. So how are they using our money, Sherry, according to Todd Myers over there at the Washington Policy Center?
They're using it to put logos on every single agency that gets money from the Climate Control Act. So it's supposed to show people how their money is being put to use. So you get stationery or whatever it is. That logo is there. And I suppose the point is, oh, look, wow, they're really using that. You know, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because if you can proliferate the area with,
how tired are you?
with a really big shoe,
yeah.
then people will think it's working.
Right. Yeah. So it's part of the brainwashing for people. Just keep this, just repeat the lie over and over and over again. We talked to Cliff Mass over University of Washington. He's a science meteorologist and an atmospheric scientist. And I told him about this documentary that I watched. I said, so how much of this is right? And basically, with some scientists are saying, listen, what if it isn't CO2? What if it isn't? The basic concept that the folks that are part of the green industry is, as CO2 goes up, the earth temperatures go up. What if that's not true? Can we discuss that? Because if it's not the case, well, we've put all our chips in, and we're forcing people to get rid of how they heat their house. We're forcing people out of their cars. We're forcing people to make different choices, forcing them based entirely on the idea as CO2 goes up, the earth temperatures go up. But if you look at the earth's temperatures over the last 50 million years or even further back, you can see sometimes CO2 is up, temperatures going down. It was actually warmer in the 1940s. Depends on where you look at it. But everyone's in, oh, no, it's settled science. And as Cliff Mass would tell you and other scientists, science is never settled. It's the hypothesis and prove the data and then find it. And then you argue back and forth and you get to some point. But the whole thing is all based upon, yes, we are producing so much CO2. We're driving the earth's temperature up. So we're going to spend trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to bring it down that 1 degree. Because if not, we're all done for. So this is part of the story, and I saw that Bill Gates threw $1 million at the advertising that's going to be going on in order to get you to vote yes to keep the Climate Commitment Act going. So, and $1 million, and I thought, well, I was like, oh, Bill Gates put $1 million in there. I saw Brandy from Undivided. So I thought, okay, I'll take his total net worth, and then I'll just do the quick math on $1 million, which points out to be total net. So that's 0.000813 of his all of his worth. So I thought, okay, that'd be interesting. Let's say somebody makes $50,000. So we're going to do total person making has got $50,000 worth of assets. What would that be equal to at 0.000813? So Bill Gates is worth $213 billion or something like that, or $123 billion. What's $1 million? What percentage is it? So if it's 50, so if somebody has $50,000, it would be like them giving $40 just to figure out the ratio. And I probably lost half people when I was explaining that.
Is this going to be on the test? Because you better go over it.
All right, then I'll have this guy do it for you. Okay. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I own my own home. I own a car. I have a job. So what's my response to money that is laying in the street? And I wanted to compare what that might be to someone who was worth $50 billion. And at the time, that was the wealth of Bill Gates.
He's got more money.
So I did the calculation. I said, okay, since I have a job, a stable job, and a car, the penny, I'm not bending down to pick up the penny. Let somebody else get that. Nickel, same with the nickel. Dime, if I'm not in a hurry, I'm picking up the dime. In a hurry, I'm walking past it. Quarter, I'm picking up every time. So that's my valuation of free money in the street.
Yeah.
Given the wealth level that I had. So if I ratio that into Bill Gates as well.
This is what I tried to do.
What is the amount of money that is too low for him to slow down, stop, and pick it up? It's $45,000. So if there's a wad of cash, $45,000 in the streets, then I'm too busy. Let someone else pick that up. I got to make decisions at Microsoft headquarters. They're waiting for me. That's how much wealth $50 billion is. Because the $45,000 is not even worth bending over to pick up.
Right. So now actually the number is like $87,000.
It kind of makes his donation unimpressive.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
I'm not even sure if he's part of the climate cult now.
That's the $1 million you make. That's just, you know, falls out of the back of his pocket.
$1 million doesn't do a lot for you when you're dead.
Wow. Oh, where does that come from?
Yeah. That was from today.
Oh. Really?
When did Sherry say that?
Yeah.
It was, I think it was sports betting, maybe. Talking with Rye.
Oh.
Oh, no. I don't think that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't either.
Sherry, there's so many golden moments that you have, Sherry.
Do you remember Sherry?
No.
Her brilliant ideas are like children. They're like frog, like salmon eggs. She just lays them all out.
There's, oh, like, I remember. It was you trying to convince the guy to go punch a protester.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we go. Again, that's a podcast thing. You folks listen to the podcast. Go back and enjoy that one.
I guess we should, too.
Apparently, we don't remember what we're talking about. Yeah, it was my idea, everybody. So I went down to watch a couple of protests when I was in New York. I went down and watched the Trump protest, which is really interesting to see those people. And then I went over when they were blocking, I think it was the Holland Tunnel or whatever, and people are laying around the street and people watching it, and the cops are there protecting them. New Yorkers, they don't mess around with traffic. And I said to this guy, you know what? If you go over here and punch that guy, I'll videotape it for you. You know they're going to arrest you. You know you're going to go to jail. But the beauty is, I'll put the video up. You could start a GoFundMe. You could do like $2 million, $1 million. You could easily make $1 million because everybody wants to punch one of those guys. Everybody. And you could cash in on it. He's like, why don't you do it? I was like, why would I do it? You do it. Because I don't need the million. You could use it. I mean, at that point, I had to really respond. Listen, we got a plan. And I said, Ben, I could put you on my radio show. We have a radio show. He looked at me like, huh? I was like, is it like a podcast? No, it's not a podcast. It's a legitimate radio show.
By the way, credit to the NYPD. I did see at one point them dragging, like just absolutely, like ferociously dragging those protesters off the street.
Yeah, yeah.
They got tired of it.
Yeah, get a little something. Yeah, because you don't mess with that traffic, especially they knew what they were doing. Oh, I did. By the way, I did say to one of the guys, oh, I just heard. One guy's laying there. I just heard the war ended. Good job. You guys did a great job. Thank you. Well done.
You're the ones.
Yeah, you were the
made
ones.
The difference.
You were
you
the
turned
ones.
The corner.
Yeah, it was a great job. America's apparently throwing away a bunch of money. So but Neil deGrasse Tyson saying we won't pick up a penny, you won't pick up a dime or a quarter. You pick up a quarter. But people just throwing change away. So there's this business I saw in the Wall Street Journal. They have been able, as I said, Americans on average will throw away $68 million in coins a year. They get all of this metal that is all out there, and they're able to extract it through magnets and other stuff like that. And then everything that doesn't wash out, they've got it in a big pile there. They clean it all up, and they find $68 million. And apparently, was it Andrew or somebody in the morning show? Was it Gene Ursula?
Yeah, Chef. It was Andrew.
Chef, yeah. And they made mention, and I think you said, too, that you throw pennies away.
Right.
And then people got all upset with you.
Yeah, he said he might as well have killed a dog based on the reaction
Aww.
That he got.
Well, that's not a good analogy.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable. The U.S. Mint spent about $707 million making pennies. It's three times their value to even make them. Mm-hmm. So there has been a push to just eliminate the penny. Canada, New Zealand, Australia, they stopped making their 1 cent coin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why do we even do it if most people aren't interested in doing it? Or having, you know, a penny? What can you use? Change in general.
Learn some economics.
Thank you. Sorry, Sherry. I just had to yell that out. Go ahead.
People in general don't want to use coins. They don't even want to use cash.
Uh-huh.
So coins are sort of, you know, an inconvenience.
Yeah.
And the penny in particular, like, I would not, unless it was heads up and I thought I was getting a good luck charm, I wouldn't pick down, I wouldn't, or is it tails? Which is it?
Heads.
Heads.
It is heads. Okay. Then I would pick it up. Otherwise, would you bend down and pick up a dirty penny?
Yeah. If I saw a penny, yeah, why not?
Liar.
Why not? What does it take to bend down? I'm the guy that also does the air squats at the airport.
Yeah,
I watched this lady today watch me do a bunch of push-ups. And I was like, you know, go ahead, judge me. I'll never see you again. And then she was sitting right beside me on the plane. But the I'd pick up a penny. Why not?
Just the inconvenience of having it in your pocket.
Oh, the inconvenience. So inconvenient to have that penny just, you know, tipping my skeletal hips off to one side.
Out of balance. You got to go see a chiropractor. Come on.
This one couple, I thought this was really cool. They had an entryway. It's about 230 feet. And they used $65,000 pennies to tile
it. Oh, yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, big fan of the I'm a big loose change guy. Why don't you say that at my funeral? But I'm not the guy that always had like big piles of change in your pocket, you know, walking around. You always got that. Then the old guys are like, got that little weird rubber thing you put your. you squeeze it, it opens up like a clam. And all of a sudden, like, now what do you need? You need a couple of dollars?
Right. And it's got some faded like business on the flat side of it. Like some like.
Probably
gross
a radio station logo.
Well, yeah, our hardware store or something from 1956. And
it's like an old guy's always got some change on him. But when you need it, for some reason, if you needed some sort of coins or something like that, as a kid, I used to, you know, Mom, can I clean up that for a dollar or 50 cents? And you get allowance, whatever, some little crappy bit of allowance. And I was always wanted to get something. So I'd have a whole bunch of change. And I was always, and I'd carry it around. I'd get a sock. My dad would have these socks and big black sock. And my mom said, you can't find the extra socks. You can have this one. I put all my change in there. And every like once a week, I would stack all the quarters and then stack all the dimes and stack all the, and then I'd put them, you scrap him back up and put him in the sock. I tie a knot in the sock. And just as like, okay, I want to buy like one of those rockets that you can build, a home rocket. You put the little rocket engine in the bottom of it,
yeah.
And you build the whole thing. I was going to buy that. I was going to go to this toy store and go buy my rocket thing. But I'd see like something else I was thinking I wanted to buy instead. So I didn't have any self-discipline. So what I do is I tie a knot in the sock and then I would open the window and I would whip it around my head and then throw the sock out the window and it would go out into the woods that we had behind the house somewhere out there. And I wouldn't find it for the longest time. I'd just like not look for it, like weeks on end until the urge to go buy something else other than the homemade rocket would pass. And then I was bound to go get the rocket and I'd go back out in the woods with my brother and we'd find the sock. And he goes, this is the stupidest thing.
Here, here. What? Yeah. What are you doing? You want a rocket. What's the problem with just going to buy the rocket?
Because I didn't have enough money yet. But I would see something else. Like, maybe I wanted to buy a marionette.
Because
I
was
like,
why didn't you just tempted?
Yeah, I didn't want to get tempted.
Okay.
But why don't you just wait until you have enough money? Just keep filling the sock.
I know, but Sherry, I would go to the toy store to buy Jolly Rogers, and then I would see something else. I would see the rocket, and I'm like, okay, I got to get that. But then I was walking out of there, I'd see something else, and I was like, ooh, I think I have enough money for that. So I'd go home, have self-discipline, tie the knot in the socket, throw it out into the woods.
Did you fill penny holders?
Huh? No. No.
Were there multiple socks out in the woods?
No.
Just one?
Just that one.
I was a rich kid.
So where do you keep your pennies now? Because since you pick them up when you see them.
Oh, I have them in a little, you do the penny thing. You stick them in that little thing.
You got the sleeves for pennies?
Yeah, the little dark, like maroon
brown
thing.
You don't do that still. They don't even make those anymore, do they?
I make them myself.
Your commitment to this has me questioning all of your stories now.
Oh.
This is not what we do. No, this is not what we do. We don't do that. No, this show is you don't do that.
You're right. Because you're
sort of a thriller aspect to it. It goes on this crazy journey.
The
and the weird and thing is when people
throw it out the window.
Describe it.
You're writing to us, Teeny Tiny. Where is Teeny today? She's been around? Saw her on the Oh, there she was. She was in the break room. She's over hanging out with Aaron talking Mariners. Aaron's going to take her to a Mariners game. Thank you, Teeny. Teeny's going to get that letter of the day for you. If you're sending one in, you can write to us at the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Big honor for you. 1-888-973-5476. All welcome. Oh, no, Sherry. Oh, no. Look what's happening.
Because the man in the tinfoil hat.
Uh-oh. It's a conspiracy theory.
Sitting on the throne tonight.
Cloud seeding.
Like
is it to blame for California's storms and flooding? And for what happened in Dubai? Did they overseed the clouds? How much rain did Dubai get?
They say they had 18 months of rain within 24 hours. A friend of mine was coming back from India, and she got stuck at the airport, which was, I guess, just overrun with people trying to get shelter. And also, the flights, they just didn't have any. So it backed things up for a day or so.
They had, I don't know if you guys saw video, but the where they taxi the airplanes, I mean, the water was up to the fuselage almost.
Well, thank you, Joe, for that.
You're welcome.
The fuselage. So did they admit that they had seeded the clouds?
Yes.
Yes.
They seeded the clouds the day before. They do this on a regular basis. But experts are saying it might have contributed to it. But really doing that should only increase rainfall by about 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm. Unless they had somebody new working there and they overseeded the cloud.
Right. It's salt that they do to sort of encourage, to speed up condensation. So maybe they just...
New guy.
Oversalted.
New guy.
They became bloated and just had to dump all that out.
Wow. Thank you, Sherry, for cleaning that up for us. The new guy was taught the thing. The old guy's like, you gotta get that job. And it's like, when I mop, there's two good mops. There's a yellow mop, the green, the one with the red paint on it. Don't use that one. Get the yellow one. You're going to find your own way to do it. But I basically like to do like a sweeping motion, kind of counterclockwise. And you're like, I'm not going to be here that long to come up with my own way of mopping, okay? This is a summer job. I'm going to do this. So did they have to apologize? Did anybody get sued? I mean, assuming in Dubai, they don't do any of that sort of stuff.
No, I don't think anybody's suing in Dubai.
It's a different world over there. But you're not going to be able to like, bring somebody to court because your basement got flooded or something.
No.
The only thing that seemed a little bit like, not an apology, but I guess over in Oman, which is near Dubai, they also got a lot of rain, and there was a vehicle with 10 children in it, and they all died.
Oof.
So people were sending condolences about that. But some people are saying, the reason there was so much flooding was because their drainage system is terrible, and which seems hard to believe because Dubai is the ultra-modern country, right? I mean, they've got everything and all the money to get it. So they said, that's why it just backed up so much.
Yeah, because they just they look at it and think, well, we don't need to spend much on any of our drainage because we don't have enough rain any rain that's going to cause a problem. But by the way, it is no longer going to be the place that everybody talks about having the tallest building in the world. Because guess, did you see who's in the running now?
No.
Joseph, if you would.
In December 2023, the world first learned about Legends Tower. It was part of the Boardwalk at Bricktown, a sprawling development envisioned by Madison Capital and the architecture firm AO. Initially, the tower was slated to stand at a still impressive 1,750 feet, mm-hmm. making it the second tallest structure in the United States.
Not good enough.
But that wasn't enough.
No.
In January 2024, a revised plan was unveiled and jaws dropped. Legends Tower was now aiming to soar 1,907 feet into the sky, surpassing the One World Trade Center and claiming the title of the tallest building in the country.
Yes.
Consider the scale.
Yes.
Legends Tower would more than double the height of Oklahoma City's current tallest building, the 50-story Devon Energy Center,
yes.
completed in 2012. Should it ever become a reality, this tower won't just claim the title of the tallest building in the U.S., it will enter the ranks of the world's top five tallest structures. Legends Tower isn't just about height. This mixed-use building would include over 1,700 apartments, a 350-key Hyatt Hotel, and a whopping 110,000 square feet of retail and dining space.
In where, Sherry?
I have a feeling this entire setup was for this.
And wheat, it sure smells sweet. Comes whipping down the plain. Oh, Oklahoma, every night. My happy man and I
sit alone and talk and watch a hawk.
Can you wait for the part that you know? Oh, that's a jig. I like that. Very nice.
I was in the back.
Oh.
And the nuns are like, come on, you're a good athlete. Get your knees up.
That's good.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Comes the second verse. Get ready.
Everybody's in on this one.
I'm going to count the words that he knows.
I was in the back. I didn't need to know all the words.
Well, weren't you part of the chorus?
Yeah, but no one can hear you. Just like, ha-wa-pa-pa-ha. You get certain words out of it.
Sounds exactly
piece
right.
Of carrots. Piece
it's
of
like,
carrots.
Yeah, exactly. Piece of brew bar and garbage. It's like the time I was in the St. Paddy's Day parade. I was playing the saxophone. I was in fourth grade. I said to the nuns, can we use our lyres? Lyres, a little device that snaps onto the front of the saxophone. Put your music on there. So I was like, okay, good. I don't have to memorize it. We're going to do Irish Eyes Are Smiling, Irish Rose, and like three other songs. We're going to march to St. Paddy's Day Parade in Philadelphia, get off the bus, get out there to make the turn onto Broad Street. Giant, like, gust of wind comes ripping over, and the lyre with my music goes right off my sax. I got 2 miles in the wind. I got one song memorized, which was, can you find Suicide is Painless, please, Andrew? Suicide is Painless, theme from MASH. So I have only that song that I've got memorized. That's the only song I've played on the saxophone. But I thought, well, you know what? I got 2 miles of marching. I'm going to play Suicide is Painless, which sounds something similar to When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. Close enough.
Did it occur to anybody that that's an odd choice of a song?
It's the only song they had to play. No.
Depressing.
This was not the song the nuns taught us. I learned this one at home, right?
Oh, so they weren't even slated to play this. This was your independent choice.
Not my own. I didn't know I had. Sherry, I didn't have a choice. Ba, 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 ba. And then if you listen to When Irish Eyes Are Smiling, it goes like that. Ma, ma, na, 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 na. Which sounds a little bit like, ma, na. And this kid next to me, Louis Milioni, goes, what are you playing? I'm like, only song I know. Theme from MASH. He's like, it's very, it's throwing me off. And I'm like, just play whatever you got. That's all I got. So I'm just, they're all playing, ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I'm like, ba-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, no.
Woo! Happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. There you go. How do we get into that?
Good question.
Oh, Oklahoma. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma, good luck. They said, people said, do you have any money? Yeah, we've got backers for this to build the biggest, tallest skyscraper in the world. And this, people are like, in Oklahoma?
Yeah. Did anybody mention that nobody really goes to Oklahoma?
I know.
I mean, first what's that hotel going to do?
They stole our Sonics. Now they want to build the telescope.
Like, oh, what about tornadoes? Oh, don't worry. It'll withstand tornadoes. Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got big dreams there in Oklahoma.
Yes,
hey, what's that
do.
You're doing? Oh, that here is called the two-step.
Where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
And waving wheat.
Can sure smell sweet when the wind
it's two
comes
words, you
right
know.
Behind the rain.
Three.
Hey, what's that you're doing? Oh, this here is called the two-step. Oh, don't make me get in. Sherry, I had a solo in that song.
Oh, you did? Solo dance or solo?
Solo.
Oh,
and the
wow.
Nuns and the Christian brothers at Carol were like, okay, guys, just sound a little bit more masculine. Because a lot of those senior guys into theater had a thing in their voice that you couldn't quite tell, you know, who was the cowboy. You know what I mean? Okay. All right.
That's an interesting euphemism. Hey.
Yeah, throwing Andrew off. It's too much work for Andrew. All right. Sherry, you ready? Wilcox Family Farm Egg, Sherry. Don't forget, they're the best. I love them when they're hard-boiled. A little bit of salt on there. You know what happens, Sherry?
It makes it rain. When
oh,
you
that's
the
good.
Egg.
That's like just like in Kansas City. You were making fun of me not knowing all the lines from Oklahoma. Well, this I had a couple of big lines in this one back in high school.
Oh, okay.
What next?
Yeah, what next?
What next? Everything's up to date in Kansas City.
I'm in the back. I'm like listening.
It's kind of a good thing.
They went and built a skyscraper seven.
That's a good bounce. Did you sing it all?
No, hold on.
All right. Here we go.
Everything's like a dream in Kansas City. It's better than a magic lantern show.
Oh, that's a kind of a
yeah, just,
a,
do this.
A good nod. Yeah, I like it.
Had a hat on.
Right. Sure.
Hold on. Here we go.
Sorry.
The privies in the rain and never wet your feet.
We're waiting.
Gone about as far as they can go.
Let's go.
About as far as they can go. Then he sings again. We sort of just have to wait.
Wait. We waited for that? Something about that so far to go?
Yeah.
Is that the hook? I mean, what is that? I don't.
You know, I didn't always have to have the lead. I was a very supportive chorus guy.
There are no small parts, only small actors. So I agree with you.
Okay.
But I
we got to get to letters.
Let's just skip the mailman.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start singing or doing a dance that no one could see so we could avoid the letters. Sorry. Next time I won't do that.
I did it. My line was, what's that you're doing? Oh, this here is called the two-step. And then you do the two-step. But that was my line. What's that you're doing? Oh, this here is called the two-step. But I was like, what's that you're doing? Oh, this here is called the two-step. I'm like, okay.
And now it is time for the
all right,
Teeny.
Oh. Holy.
Okay, here we go. This is nice. Tyler in the 425 is updating us on his baby in the NICU.
Oh, yeah.
Good news, guys. We brought Jeannie home from Evergreen NICU this week. She's finally up to the right weight and eating well. We still have a ways to go, but we're at least all at home. Soon we'll start working with Seattle's Children's to find out what needs to happen next. Mm. We certainly couldn't have done it without our family and church community stepping up to cover us with support and childcare for the other two and bringing meals for us. You guys and your audience thinking of us means so much.
Wow, that is sweet. We have his number. I'll call him after the show.
Absolutely.
I'll get him. Call him tomorrow.
That's great. Good news.
See if they need anything else.
Tyler.
Good. And that's all Jeannie she wrote. As well. Well, I think we ought to do another hour of this. I've got a couple of songs from Chorus Line next, huh? All right, let's do another hour.